You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, is your salon in the heart of River Oaks and West App shopping? The stylists there are the best. Listen, they don't have a lot to work with when they work with my head. But let me tell you, the stylists there, they keep me looking sharp for TV work. Azure Salon, the place to go. And ladies, they've got you covered as well with color cuts and extensions. It's azuresalon.com, A-Z-U-R, azuresalon.com. Also, again, a reminder, Red Army and the Bayou City Blues, the Manchester United and Chelsea supporters group, Friday, June 16th. It's $135 a ticket. They're bringing across the pond Norman Whiteside. If you remember him, at 17, played for Northern Ireland in the World Cup. Also was a player at Manchester United. Did some wonderful things there under Sir Alex Ferguson. He's got some great stories. It's a kind of a dinner. It's a raffle auction. It's a sportsman's dinner. They call it over in England. Here we'd call it a night with legendary soccer players, Norman Whiteside of Manchester United and Bobby Tambling of Chelsea. Tom Clare, Jesus Martinez hosts. It all goes for the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, cccfund.org. If you're a Manchester United fan, this is the type of night you want to be there. A Chelsea fan, you'll get to meet these guys. You'll get to talk to them. You'll hear the stories. You'll be there with like-minded individuals, and it'll all go to pediatric cancer research. So tickets at 281-812-4805, 281-812-4805, Facebook group/Houston Red Army. Tom Clare's done a wonderful job of pushing that along with the Jesus Martinez. All right, so how do we show Chris? And we come back with Chris Canetti, Dynamo president in studio, and we really appreciate him coming in here. You can talk to him tonight at 713-780-3776, and I'll take a look at Twitter in a minute because I'm sure some people are posting questions there. How do you show Houston and our community that there's a commitment to figuring out these attendance problems? What are you guys doing? What are you doing marketing, promoting-wise? You hinted at some of the details that you've got some initiatives going on. What is it you guys are doing?
We're doing everything. Everything that we can within our power and within our resources. I mean, to start, we have 29 ticket sales representatives, 29 people who come to work every day whose sole focus is to reach out to folks like you and others and sell you tickets, whether it be season tickets, partial season plans, or group tickets. So there's a very, very strong commitment. That's the largest number of ticket sales executives we've ever had on staff at one time. And that's their sole focus.
So you increased the amount of people on your sales staff.
Yeah, by about 10 on average, right? We've had somewhere in the neighborhood of 16 to 18 probably over the years. So we've added more ticket sales executives making outbound calls. There's no one magic bullet here. There's lots of different initiatives, right? We do a lot of marketing. We do a lot of grassroots marketing. We like to get our players out in the community. We like to do a lot of community relations. You know, we have a public relations staff who works their tails off trying to make sure that we can get in the news, whether it's in the newspaper or on TV or on talk radio. You know, we don't have people coming to us, so to speak, for those things. We have to go out and sell the story, sell newsmakers on why it's important to cover the
Dynamo. Can I stop you there? Do you feel like it hurts the Dynamo that you don't have more critical, and I mean a healthy criticism from mainstream media in Houston? Because you don't. Because like you said, you're telling the story right now. You have to go out and hand them the information, the piece. Hey, do a piece on Albert Elise, La Panterita. It's tough, I think.
Absolutely.
Because that's an additional job for you guys. In other markets, although sometimes it bothers people, it is motivating to have healthy pressure.
Look, it's what,
and I think they've got it in places like Orlando. They've got it in Seattle. They've got it in Portland. They've got it in Sporting Kansas City. How do you get this mainstream media to do more for you in that department and lift you guys with healthy criticism?
Look, it's everything. It's everything. It's better than any ticket sales executive or any marketing plan. When you have the media driving your storyline, it's everything. And, you know, again, we're fighting for that day in and day out. I would love to have woken up this morning, jumped in my car, driven into work, and somebody be talking about the game last night, whether it be positive or critical, you know, talking tactics, talking storylines. You know, it's not good enough for – I mean, people have a great time coming to our game one way or the other, but it's substantially more better – when someone's coming to the game and they know all the storylines around it, just like they know when they go to the Texans game. because there's dozens and dozens. You tell them every game when you're on TV, all the different storylines that go into it. So that's important. That's what we need. We need people who understand the ins and outs, you know, the on the field, the off the field pieces to the team. That's what connects people. That's what brings them closer. That's what makes them want to be there more than just a good price ticket or a great view of the game or some exciting MLS action. It's really those storylines that drive everything to the next level. And the media is the one that usually does it.
You feel respected by mainstream media down here as a club?
I don't feel disrespected, but you know, we get a very superficial coverage, is what I'll say. If we were to hold a press conference tomorrow on anything, you know, we would have a pretty full room of media from all the TV and radio and newspaper. So they cover us, but again, we have limited space, limited time. When we can start to get that in-depth coverage that takes you deeper into the club, into the storylines and the action, that's when it really starts to matter. That is the turning point, I believe, for us or for any MLS team that's in a similar situation, is people understanding the ins and outs, the stories. I mean, we can hear it talking sports radio every day about who's going to be the backup Texans left guard or right, or how's the special teams unit going to be. And they're having those conversations in June, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be great to pick up the paper today or listen to sports talk radio this morning and talk tactics. You know, did Wilmer Cabrera make the right approach last night? Did he not make the right, or whatever? Should we have converted a chance or whatever the storyline might have been?
So do we understand what the problem is with attendance? Do we understand what it is that this community wants in order to get them back to the stadium? Do we have an idea of what that is? Do we know, or is it kind of baffling? Because, you know, if it's just winning and purpose of play and entertaining soccer, that's there.
Yeah.
So do we know what the problem is?
It's a combination of things. As I said, it's not one thing. You know, we have to look back and realize what's happened over the last couple of years. There were some negative things that happened to the club that's hurt us. So we have to win some people back. I don't think it's going to happen over the course of 2.5 months or 3 months. Yes, we have to be good on the field. We have to have exciting play. We have to be competitive. We have to have a great marketing campaign. We have to have a great direct sales campaign. We have to have great community relations and public relations. We have to get more media coverage. We have to be hitting on every single cylinder. We have to have the right schedule, right? And in some markets, that doesn't matter. But in Houston, it matters, right? When we get a game on Easter weekend, that's going to be tough, where in some markets where it might not. Last Wednesday night was tough. It was the last week of school. We had a lot of people who, you know, I heard from families who come to every game, said, my kids have exams tomorrow, right? So we need to overcome those things in time and make sure those are not problematic for us. But right now, those are real things that are affecting us and things we need to address.
So you know the Tom Dart article.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the Tom Dart article. And I read that article, and I thought it was a great conversation piece. I also thought it had a huge element not in there. It almost seemed, after I read it, there was a lot of blame being put on Dallas as a community and Houston as a community as to the attendance woes of Dallas and the Dynamo. There was never any questioning of the accountability of both organizations. And again, but the organizations have a responsibility in this too. You just said it. You said you've had some very bad years, some down years, some things have happened that have turned people off and fatigued people, right? You spit shined the product. You got a great product. You got a great manager. You're scoring goals. You're winning games. But how much accountability is on the organizations of FC Dallas? Because, you know, look, FC Dallas has had a hell of a team and has had really good results. They haven't won any cups, but they've been Supporter Shield winners. They're doing it with young players, and they don't seem to be able to figure it out either.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to get into their situation. I think they've got
– I'm just saying that because they were – you know, it was this huge article about, you know, why is Texas soccer not – well, we know this is a soccer town, okay? Houston, Texas is a soccer town. So is Dallas. It's creepy crawling with ex-pros, people coaching. They're there. The question is, how do we get them to the big dance?
Right. Yeah, look, Dallas has challenges that are unique to ours, as you know, the location of their venue, et cetera. This is not permanent, I promise you. This is a great soccer town. We've got a great history. we fell on our knees a little bit, and we're getting back up, and we're straightening this thing out. And it's the number one. If you were sitting in our executive team meeting or our directors meeting today, the conversation starts and ends with, "Let's get it back. Let's get the attendance back, right? Respectable, consistent attendance back." And we've got 9 games at home for the rest of the year. You know, a fairly decent schedule as schedules go. No one's ever going to be in love with their schedule, but you know, again, we need to do the right thing as an organization in the front office. The players need to do the right thing, and the coaches need to do the right thing on the field and in the community. And we hope the fans will respond. And it's a collective effort, and we've seen it work here in the past. You know, at BBVA Compass Stadium, at Robertson Stadium. It starts with the product on the field. The front office cultivates it, takes it somewhere. The fans come out. They push the team to victory at home. They want to come back for more. We're building it. We got to get it back.
Dynamo president Chris Kennedy in studio. You can talk to him, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. What's the highest priority now with all the things you have going on? What is the highest priority you think right now for the Dynamo Soccer Club?
Well, it's there's no doubt about it. It's bringing that attendance level back to where it was just a short time ago. We're only talking about 2 years ago here, where our attendance was on a much higher level than where it is today. I feel that the soccer team is in very good hands with Matt Jordan and Wilmer Cabrera. Again, I'm not promising that we're going to make the playoffs, but I believe this team is taking massive strides forward and is a very competitive team in this league and is going to fight right till the end. Hopefully we do get into the playoffs. That's our goal. But there's no doubt that's trending in the right direction. Now we have to get the other public-facing piece of our organization back on track, which is attendance. When you look at a club, you look how do they perform on the field and what sort of support and relevance do they have in the community. So these are the two things where everything starts. And again, that's where the primary focus is.
Where do you think the relevance of the team is now?
I think the Houston Dynamo have a positive reputation in this community. That's what I hear when I make my way around. People like us. They have a positive impression of our organization, of the experience of coming to a game. I mean, we need to turn that like to love on a much higher level. And we certainly have a strong, passionate fan base that's been supportive of us throughout the years and continues to support us today. We need to continue to grow that too over time. And so I do believe we are a brand that is on the rebound, that is it's making its way back, and right now has more good than bad about it.
How much pressure is on Dynamo president Chris Kennedy from ownership? Obviously, Gabriel Brenner's the majority interest owner of the club. How much pressure is on you, and how much do you hear from your owner? Because, you know, a lot of teams have an owner that's out front, charismatic. Gabriel seems to be more behind. And sometimes people want to hear from the owner. And Wilmer is, you know, kind of soft-spoken. Yeah. He's not really out front as much. He keeps it close to the vest with his team, which I totally respect. But the Dynamo do need vibrancy out front. Mm-hmm. You mentioned star players. Who is our star player? Is it Albert Elise in the Panther celebration? I mean, that's this guy's a marketing dream. Who is our star?
Well, you're right. Two of the marketing dreams we have is Kubo's Robot and Elise's Panther, right? So, you know, our marketing team.
I think you got to let a few live Panthers loose at the stadium. Bring them into the. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, whatever we can do at the zoo with the Panthers, let's do it.
Glenn, there's a lot of pressure on me, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean that in a positive sense. I have a lot of responsibility here. This club's an important thing to our community and to our fan base and to me, and I care like crazy about it. And there's nothing more satisfying than me to go to a game and to see a full house and walk out of there with a Dynamo victory. That's like the best feeling in the world. Gabriel Brenner feels the exact same way, and he applies the right pressure on me. Everybody needs a boss that's putting pressure on him, or else you get too comfortable. So we're all feeling it, and it's important.
All right, we're going to take a break here. More with Chris Kennedy, 713-780-3776. My producer, Honorable Tyler Scott, is waving at me, telling me to get the commercial break here. A quick reminder here, as host of Soccer Matters, reminding you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Spring is here. Get out to the patio. Get out to the pool. Come to a Dynamo game. But most importantly, grab your friends and an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of the Houston Dynamo, and sponsor of Soccer Matters Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And I need to give you one more quick little hit here, and that hit comes from Liberty Kitchen. No, I'm sorry, Kings Court and Liberty Kitchen. Kings Court, 903 Hutchins in Edo, on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. Go down there, say hello to Jay. They got 13 TVs. Manchester United and Chelsea supporters groups hang out there. 24 taps, full bar. Pre and post game, you'll catch El Bataillon there. They got a big party going on always. Indian, British cuisine, rooftop patio, Kings Court, 903 Hutchins. Literally, it's 15 yards from the stadium. You cross the street, you're at the stadium. It's Kings Court. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. A moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. By the way, John goes down to a lot of Dynamo games. Played soccer growing up in the Bear Creek area. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, the Daspit Law Firm will assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. And that hurts here in Soundgarden. Chris Cornell, that guy, incredible musician, soulful singer. Obviously a very troubled soul. It was sad to hear of his passing. I did get to see him once, Tyler, by the way.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, I saw him once.
Should have saw him in Houston before.
And I did see the Allman Brothers, summer. Too, once. I saw the Allman Brothers, believe it or not, with Roy Orbison.
Hmm.
The great legendary Roy Orbison with the high voice.
Hmm.
And Roy Orbison passed like 2 months later. And he was unbelievable. I don't think most of the young listeners would know Roy Orbison. I don't even think Tyler Scott knows Roy Orbison.
I know who he is.
No, I know you do. You're a music. You're one of the best in music. All right, let's get back to soccer talk here with Dynamo President Chris Canetti. 713-780-3776 is the number here. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. If you look out, is there a 5-year plan? Is there a 10-year plan? I mean, how do you plan for the vision in the distance? And obviously, you do that with a coach and the other key elements and personnel in your club. But how do you do that? 5, 10, 15-year increments? I mean, is there goal setting? How does that?
Yeah,
does
look,
that
it's most realistic to think 5 years ahead. You know, one reason for that is this league is changing so fast. And I'll give you an example. You look at the Houston Sports Park and our training complex, which has been open about 5 years. When it opened, it was the talk of MLS. It was, you know, the greatest training complex amongst the teams that were in existence at the time. And here we are just 5 years later. And let's just say it this way. It's not one of the best. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but it just speaks to the level of investment and professionalism that's stepping into the league and into the game. It's a fast evolving league. It's changing rapidly every single year. Actually, it's changing as we you know, revisit our rules in terms of player acquisitions and where the investments on that need to go. But you know, we need to keep building our fan base. That's the most important thing. We need to stay focused on the product that is the first team. We like the progress that we've made with RGV and what that's meant to our organization. We think that's a real success story. We need to continue to build out on the academy level and grow some players, you know, from the, you know, the 10 years old type age group on up. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. There's no stopping here. And, you know, the future is only bright for the Houston Dynamo and MLS. We're only going to continue to grow and get better over the years.
Let me get to RGV. Because a lot of people don't think the Dynamo have produced any talent yet. Why? Is it because you haven't put the resources into it? until up until recent times. Why hasn't the Dynamo Academy produced more real influential players for the first team?
You know, look, I don't have the answer to that. I mean, we're not alone in that category.
Did you get a late start on it?
Well, listen, compared to Dallas, yes. Keep in mind, Dallas has been around 10 more years than we have, so they've had 10 more years in a market. You look at the impact the Houston Dynamo have had on the soccer market here in Houston. FC Dallas has had a decade longer to make that impact. So, their opportunity to grow things from the youth level on up, as they've got a head start over us. But, you know, we're not alone. There's a lot of MLS teams who have yet to produce that big name player out of their youth academy.
But there's a lot that has, and I see the league giving more opportunities, certain clubs to. Dallas played a 16-year-old the other day. David Ferreira's kidney scored against RSL. Well, everybody's scoring against RSL, but that's an example. Tyler Adams, huge example. Real Salt Lake had 5 kids on that are RSL products on the FIFA Under 20 World Cup team, and these kids are playing. And if the Dynamo are going to be one of the organizations that are going to be very, very budget conscious, if that's the word to use here, because we got one guy here, Victor, talking about the Dynamo's budget in comparison to Toronto. But if you are going to be a club that is going to keep everything very in check, per se, and not be big spenders on the Jovinkos and all these major big names, if that's not going to be the philosophy, then you are going to have to produce players from your academy soon, right?
No doubt.
I mean, isn't there a pressure on the club there?
Listen, you have to have a player development strategy that comes from somewhere. And there's no doubt that we believe in the homegrown strategy as well as RGV. I don't know if you were referring to when you said RGV hasn't produced anything. I would contest that at this point. You know, RGV is only in its second season. We have a number of players who are signed to the roster that are products of RGV. Last year, I think that's been an awesome.
But I mean one that's really, really influential, like a Tyler Adams, who you can trade Dax McCarty because he's the future of your franchise.
Yeah, but again,
I'm not slighting anybody.
Are you talking about Academy or RGV? Because they're two different things.
I'm talking about the Academy.
Yeah, right. So I'm saying RGV has been an awesome – look, Wilmer came from RGV. Michael Delarusso came from RGV, although he's hurt. George Malky came from there. Memo revitalized his career there, right? He was on the first team. He was released from the first team, went down to RGV, has worked his way back up. He's made three.
No, I know all the benefits of RGV as far as players reestablishing their game, coming back from injury. I get that as a stepping stone. I meant more from an academy perspective.
Yeah.
And really, you know, this kid Tyler Adams is, you know, Brooks Lennon. I'm talking these caliber types of guys that at this moment in time, an 18-year-old can help a team.
Yeah, look, the youth academy is a big piece of the puzzle. That's the main thing. We have to continue to grow there. We've got a long-term strategy there. We've made a lot of progress there. We like what we're doing. There's a lot of investment in that, and hopefully it can continue to grow and produce the talent that we need it to produce.
When do you think it can produce real benefits? Is there a target date where you guys think, you know, at some point, we're going to really see some players come through that can really influence the first team?
Look, I know this. I know philosophically, you know, Matt and James Clarkson, those guys, they're really focused on the younger age groups right now. They believe that, you know, I think when we got started, a lot of the focus was on the U16s, the U18s, and perhaps by then it might even be too late. So you start looking U9, U10 right now. There's some really, really talented players down there. We need to foster and grow that talent base and get them to the point where by the time they're U16, U18, they're ready to be signed, not when they're being ready to be.
So maybe 9, 10 years then. If you're talking about the under 9 and 10 level, 10 years.
Well,
from
listen, we'll sign players before then. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we have a history of signing players, you know, if not every year, every couple of years. We've also entered into a new partnership with Rush and Space City, who have merged, and in the fall this whole thing starts. You know, we're going to have 7,000 kids in Houston now wearing Dynamo or Dash uniforms.
Is there a risk with that? Does it alienate you with others or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, how do the others take it?
No, it creates competition, right? But we decided We needed to take a, you know, you talk about youth development, what are the Dynamo going to do? We decided we needed to take a proactive stance here, and we needed to align with somebody, mm-hmm. and we needed to increase our player pool. We needed to expand our geographical reach. Now we've got the north part of town. We've got the east and southeast part of town. We still need to expand into the west and into the south. We have to be able to cover this whole entire town. It's a huge city, right?
Coaching budget. How big is it? Because, look, you can have all the kids you want and numbers all you want. If you don't have the right coaches to move these kids through, who knows what it takes to be a professional soccer player?
You need the right coaching. The coaching is the most important thing. They need to have the right
license. Is there funds for those coaches?
Absolutely.
I mean, can they be paid what
Can you
get the best coaches in Houston?
Every year we're putting more money into that. Every single year the budget goes up, up, up. You know, but it's important to have these alliances as well, because that allows you to bring more talent into your organization, sometimes through the partnership, not through a direct spend as well. So, you know, Rush, Space City are very reputable clubs. They do things professionally. There's a lot. We now have an expansion to our academy.
Is that Randy Evans and Don Gemmel you're working with at both of those?
So, you know, this is a step in trying to take things to the next level.
We do have a caller. We did go over Dynamo attendance, but you might have another thought on this. Let's quickly go. I think it's John.
Yes.
John, what's on your mind, John?
Yeah, I was just going to say, as a quick defense to the organization, I mean, it's really not just the Dynamo that go through these problems. Just the way our city is, it's so spread out and massive. It's routine for a lot of our, you know,
so we should have lousy attendance.
We know what the
challenges are. We're looking for solutions.
Well, a solution I was thinking of was
you're telling us stuff we already know.
Games for about 10 years, but to be honest, I'm not really sure. Like you were saying earlier, who our star players are. I mean, I know we have a lot of turnover from year to year, but.
So you're saying you're not, as a person on the outside, feeling the marketing of specific star players, individuals. Is that what you're saying? I'm not putting words in your mouth.
No. Okay. I agree. Yeah, like I was saying, I can't say, you know, I know who you know, some of the bigger guys are, Tyler Derrick and whatnot, but I some of the younger guys, I'm not really sure, you know, any of the young
What about Albert Elise, Kubo Torres, and Romel Kyoto? Do you know who they are?
I know who Kubo is, but other than that, yeah, I'm not too familiar. Now, to be honest, I haven't made it out to a game yet this year. I've got a pretty brutal work schedule. I will be at the FC Dallas game here in a couple weeks.
All right.
And I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, really just from a marketing standpoint, I know the bigger teams in town have a bigger budget and whatnot, but yeah, I feel like I don't really see any much Dynamo stuff on a billboard or commercials or whatnot.
Let me ask you this, John. Mm-hmm. Do you see Astros and Rockets commercials?
Sure.
I don't confuse commercials with media coverage, because I mean, and Glenn, I'm looking at you when I say this too. I mean, the marketing of these players is done by the media. That's where these guys become stars. James Harden becomes a star from the coverage he gets from the media. I mean, we need to do our own things as well. But, you know, you look at our social media accounts, we're pushing Elise, we're pushing Torres.
But to our earlier discussion, you're not getting mainstream media.
Right.
So how do you get them to boost your stars up?
That's right. But I'm saying we don't control that. I don't control what the newspaper writes or what the television cover. We work very, very hard to break through on that. And to try to fix that. But again, that's not an easy problem to solve, nor something that we can control. But that's the media creates stars, right, and drives stars. We can market the heck out of people all we want, right? We've got the signs here and there and the social media, but it's, you know, it's the media that makes it.
John, anything else from you?
That was it. Appreciate you taking the call. I've liked the segment so far. So
yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for calling in, John. We appreciate it. We'll see you down at the FC Dallas game. Yeah. 713-780-3776. Come on. This is your opportunity to talk. And we're very thankful that Chris Canetti would spend the time to come into studio here. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in here tonight. Now, obviously, families are huge, and Hispanic families as well, huge to get to games. You're trying to get an environment that's conducive to families. Take me into the Hispanic side of things, the Latino fan base. When I say, and I've said this a lot, and I want to see if you agree with me or not, because if you don't, it's okay as well. But when I say the future of soccer in this town has to include, in a very big way, the Hispanic, and you guys have gone out, you have a Hispanic coach now, you have a very Hispanic-oriented team. I think it's important at this stage for the Dynamo to move that needle in that direction like you have. But when I say that's so important to the future here, do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's not even disputable.
So what more are you guys doing to try and engage the Hispanic community? Because this is one that's coming in from a lot of people.
Listen, we have a partnership with Univision Television, Univision Radio. We have a partnership with Telemundo. We have a partnership with Univision Radio. We're doing grassroots appearances in various Hispanic locations, including all the major festivals for whether it's Mexican or Honduran or Colombian or a Brazilian or whatever it might be. We're trying to be on the ground and have our presence there. We have a wide number of executives now who speak Spanish, whether on the sales team and on the service team, to make sure that we can handle that. I told you about what we're doing at the experience, at the game, doing announcements in Spanish and creating music that's multicultural and food that's more cultural. So we're doing a wide range of things. We're doing about as much as we possibly can. We need to continue to do more. We've engaged Lopez Negrete, a major Hispanic advertising agency here in town, to help us create a message and help us distribute that message. We're trying to do things. Check out our social and digital media account. If you haven't noticed it yet, you'll pay more attention to it now. How much of that content is in Spanish? Our social media has grown over 30% since the start of the year, and I guarantee you it's mostly the Hispanic fan base who are looping in to follow up those players.
Chris Cadetti, Dynamo president, joining us here in studio. We're going to take a break. We got more to come. We need to take a break here. Tyler Scott waving at me. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Speaking of, how about a little bit about El Tri? El Tri's coming to town again, Mexico against Ghana, June 28th. They'll return to Houston. Don't miss the opportunity to see Mexico ahead of the Gold Cup. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com, starting at $30. And also, don't forget, you've also got Manchester United and Manchester City coming to Houston here. They'll play at Energy Stadium July 20th. Again, Manchester United against Manchester City July 20th. This is the Manchester Derby, which has never been played outside of England. And there might even be more attention around this after all these horrific tragedies that have been over there. And I do know ticket sales, a portion of it will go to those in Manchester. So a nice gesture there. Manchester United, Manchester City, July 20th here in Houston at Energy Stadium. We'll take a break. More to come.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
For the block, boy. Take it rough.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. I believe, Mr. Tyler Scott, this will be our final segment here tonight.
This will.
And we will have a bonus interview with Eddie Robinson. We're going to put that up at podcastarena.com. Eddie breaking down the Dynamo Seattle game. We talk a number of different topics. So we'll put that over there on the podcastarena.com because Chris Canetti has been kind enough, the Dynamo president, to stay in studio here. All right, let's keep this rolling here. Chris, let's go to the phone lines again. Brian has a question for Chris Canetti. Brian.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm in the soccer business. I do some stuff for an MLS team, some data analysis. I know Oliver Gage is your guy down there. He seems to be doing a good job. I just wanted to say that I really enjoy watching your guys' club. I watch a lot of MLS this season. You guys have put together a really nice squad. Torres has come back, even though he scored a lot of his goals from the penalty spot, which no one's really talking about. He's been fantastic. Oh,
lots of people have been talking about it. Everybody talks about it. He scored two from the run of play, okay. And the rest are set pieces. But you're telling us stuff we know. We want you to get to your point.
All right. My point is, I just think that your pickups have really stepped you over the top. And I'm curious as to why. I really like DeMarcus Beasley. He's a long-term, you know, U.S. international. But I think Dylan Remick does really well out there on the left back side. I know he kind of got beat a little bit on the Roldan assist the other day. But do you think you're going to be giving Remick any more time in the future?
Well, to be honest with you, that's more of a question for Wilmer than it is for me. But, you know, if I were to give you a gut answer, I would say yes. I think DeMarcus is an important part of our team. He's a leader. He's a veteran. He's experienced. He's key to us. And you know, he's got that starting position. But I think Wilmer's shown a propensity to be able to shift lineups and give people minutes to keep them engaged, but also put people on the bench when they need a rest. Time and time again. But I do think Dylan Remick has been an underrated pickup for us and has done a good job. I thought he had a good game last night, although you're right on that one play.
Yeah, just from a neutral point of view, I pretty much watch every match every week on MLS Live, and your guys is one of the teams that I tune to first just because you're a lot of fun to watch. So
you love the product. Thank you very much for that phone call.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, man. No worries.
All right, take care, Brian. All right, Chris, here's one coming in via Facebook because we're on Facebook Live. Christian Montano. Hey, Glenn, do you believe having Carly Lloyd back for the Dash will make them win more games, or do you believe it will take time for them to develop as a team together? I'll let you handle that one.
Carly. She's the best player in the world. We're looking forward to getting her back for the next home game on Saturday, June 17th against Orlando. Carly's a big piece of the puzzle and an important part of the team, so... the Dash are obviously not where we expected them to be or where we want them to be, but we're certainly hoping that when Carly returns for the final two-thirds of the season that she has a huge impact on the team. I believe she will. I mean, she's just that good and should play an important role for us.
She was over at Manchester City playing in England, told me some stories about bumping into Pep Guardiola, who lived in her the same complex as her. So hopefully she comes back vibrant and ready to do it for the Houston Dash. The Dash struggles. Has that made things more complicated for you guys? Because, you know, you took on essentially another club here that you have to run. It's a tremendous stress. How has that affected the running of the Dynamo?
I don't think it's affected the running of the Dynamo at all. They're really two separate entities, especially from the competitive side. I do believe, though, that the Dash has been hurt more by the Dynamo struggles than what you're suggesting has happened. So, if we can get the Dynamo back on track and get it exactly where it needs to be, that just means that much more attention is going to be able to be given to the Dash, which it deserves. We're trying to get this club on track. We certainly believe in women's soccer and the importance of it, and as the leaders of soccer in this community, we think it's the right thing to do to have a women's professional team, and we think we could make it one of the elite clubs in the world. We've had some missteps here in the beginning, but you're taking steps to address that and fix it.
Chris, what's the content? What's the messaging of the Dynamo now? Because this is a new type of Dynamo. In the past, it's always been kind of keeping that same mold of 2006 and 7, the MLS Cup teams. It's a very different team than those. It's a very different league. It's a bigger league. The league has doubled in size since those times. How do you have to sort of remember the past, yet also spit polish the quote-unquote new Dynamo? What is the message to the community about what this Dynamo is?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, you have to evolve. I mean, if we didn't try to evolve or evolve on any level, we wouldn't be going anywhere. So you need to build off of that foundation, you know, stick to the things that made you successful in certain ways, but evolve as time moves on. So yeah, we're always going to want to represent those great Dynamo teams that won championships and went to championships and the certain principles that made those teams. But to your point, we are changing, and we are a new-look team. We do have a different type of identity, but I think it's an identity that matches with the changing of our league, which is so fast. Every year, it just gets bigger and better and more intense. So, we're evolving with the rest of the league.
Don't take this question the wrong way, but in human nature, when you're successful, complacency can set in. It can happen to all of us. It's happened to me. After the titles and the move over here to the new stadium, and everything brand new, beautiful new stadium. The whole fight to get through the political landscape here to get the stadium built. Did the Dynamo take the foot off the pedal a little bit, accidentally or unknowingly?
No, we were never satisfied with where we were, whether it be on or off the field. We went through real issues that, you know, probably every organization goes through. I mean, you know, the whole narrative starts with the Dom Kinnear era ending, right? Dom was the guy for us for 9 years. For 8 years, he was wildly successful. In the last year, it kind of fell apart on him and on us. That was at the end of the 2014 season. And as we moved away from Dom and went to go a different direction, we made a mistake, made a couple of mistakes. And I've been on your show before and spoken of those mistakes. I'm not going to go all into that all over again. But no, we were never completely satisfied with where we were. We went through a period of change and hardship. And now we're trying to sort through it.
All right, let's go to the phone lines again. Thank you for that, Chris. Let's go to Victor. Victor, what's on your mind, Victor? You got the floor.
Hey, Glenn, Chris, thanks for having me here. Hey, question for you. And just keep me honest on this first question. Albert Elise, on loan, is that correct? He's an on-loan player?
Yes, sir.
All right, so my question is, you know, looking at back from last season, players like Miranda, who, again, was on loan. We lost a good player, wasn't able to secure him back. My question is, what is the plan with a player like Elise, if we're talking about star players, to keep a player like that in the club? And, you know, or should we just only, are we only going to enjoy him for a year? So your thoughts.
Well, we have the option. We control our destiny on loaned players. In the Miranda situation, we did not exercise the option to extend there because of some complications. But we control the destiny on Albert Elise. So at the end of the year, it will be our decision as to whether or not to extend that loan or to pick him up on an outright full transfer.
Okay, thank you, Victor. Now, my guesstimate is it's probably going to cost you $3 to $5 million to keep him. Is that fair?
I know what the contract says.
Am I close?
We'll talk off the air.
You're smiling, so I must be in the neighborhood anyway. Is that money you think the club can commit?
Look, we're in a situation right now, and again, I want someone to do this story someday. The Dynamo today versus the Dynamo a year ago. When you look at this club today, we have numerous players who have value on the international market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Where perhaps last year we had zero.
Mm-hmm.
All right? At this time. So, when you make the right investments in players and you can see returns on those investments or potential return on those investments down the road, it changes everything. It changes everything. So now that the player personnel department has made...
And I would say Albert Elise fits in that category.
So
Romel Kyoto fits in that category.
It gives you options.
Okay.
So you're
considering it.
So well, I'm just saying, yeah, I'm saying you look at when you've made the right investments and you feel good about those investments and you understand that your investments can yield a return and you have options, then you're going to be a lot more flexible in your spending and your viewing on things. So this is a progression.
Is the returns include off the field as well when you're judging these guys?
Yes. I'm saying returns on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm saying returns off the field and also returns in future transfers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in MLS, we always like to talk about guys coming in. We haven't really quite gotten to the culture yet and the value of selling players off, which is, you know, cultural around the world and a good thing, not necessarily.
We want to see MLS sell them more because we want to be in the market of buying and selling.
Correct. So we are, you know, we are in a much better position today than we were a year ago, thanks to really good decisions.
Okay. Well, Chris, listen, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming in. The time flew by. I know we could continue to go on here. I hope everybody who's listened in here tonight and called in, we thank you for doing that. I think this is important. I think, Chris, it was wonderful that you made the effort to stay in here this long. And I'll tell you, a lot of other presidents wouldn't do that around town. So thank you for that. I think it's healthy for everybody. I think everybody learns something when they hear a little bit more about what you're talking about. It does seem like you still have a lot of challenges. You guys know that. You're embracing it. You're trying to move it all forward, if I could say. And it sounds like you The plan is in place to kind of get it done in the future here. We still got to figure out mainstream media, though. That's for sure. That's the one we got to figure out.
That's a big chance. Look, thank you for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to everybody tonight. And, you know, we need to rally the community and get behind this Dynamo team. And it all starts in a couple of weeks with the Dynamo and FC Dallas. I hope everybody comes out. Great Friday night. What a way to start the second half of the season and get things going.
June 23rd, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. We're going to say Chris Canetti's interviews tonight, brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. That'll do it for tonight. Our thanks again to Chris for calling in. A reminder, PodcastArena.com for the Eddie Robinson interview. Always Tyler Scott behind the glass doing a wonderful job. Victor Ariza got us all hooked up for Facebook. The podcasts are at podcastarena.com, iTunes, and what's the other one? Google Doc. What is it? Google what? Google Play. Sorry. It's one I don't know. Google Play. We're out there, though. We thanks everybody for listening in and supporting the great game of soccer. Remember, soccer matters. That'll do it for tonight. Good night, everybody. Until next Wednesday. ESPN 97.5.